WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Peter King in Orlando. It's 18 years in prison for Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes. Or is it? His attorney, Edward Tarpley, plans to appeal his conviction and sentence for his involvement in the Capitol insurrection, saying his free speech rights have been violated.
He never went into the Capitol. He never assaulted anyone. He never destroyed any property. We argued all those matters during the trial and post-trial. And clearly, the words of Stuart Rhodes is what the judge returned to time and time again, what he had said over a long period of time.
Now, the judge says Rhodes was responsible for much of the violence on January 6th. The former Florida Oath Keepers leader has also been sentenced to prison for 12 years, both men convicted of seditious conspiracy. House and White House negotiators are trying to make a deal to keep the country out of default. CBS News White House correspondent Weijia Jiang has learned what the president's team is proposing.
The current proposal on the table from the White House includes extending the debt ceiling until 2025. So if there were to be some sort of a showdown over the debt ceiling again, it would at least be after the 2024 presidential election. This is not something that the White House wants the president to go through again publicly in this way. Secondly, it would rescind unspent COVID relief funds, and it would freeze spending for 2 years.
Negotiating highways and airports has become a national pastime again, just in time for Memorial Weekend. WUSA-TV's Matt Gregory.
We've seen a steady stream of travelers here at Reagan National Airport, with security lines at times backing up across the entire room, as this airport and airports around the country brace for what is going to be one of the busiest Memorial Day travel weekends in recent memory, with the busiest air travel day being today, not tomorrow.
AAA says more than 43 million people will travel 50 miles or more from home this weekend. Johns Hopkins graduates have heard from a surprise commencement speaker, Ukraine's President Zelensky, via live stream, telling them to make the best possible use their time on the planet.
Eventually realizes that time is the most valuable resource on the planet.
For those hoping to get off of the Earth, Virgin Galactic has just flown its suborbital space plane with people and passengers for the first time in 2 years. Paying customers could be next. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
Virgin has launched 6 missions so far with company pilots and passengers on board, including founder Richard Branson, but it hasn't yet launched any paying customers. The company is hoping that this latest test flight will clear the way for commercial operations to begin as early as next month.
Wall Street, the Dow closed down 35 points. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Quote based on healthy non-smoking 30-year-old female with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary. Eligible policies and estate planning tools can vary by state.
It's a busy life. You have enough to worry about. So here's a great way to check life insurance off your list. It's called Ethos. With the thought of medical exams, forms to fill out, and the cost, it's easy to see why life insurance can fall to the bottom of your to-do list. But at Ethos Life, we've got your back. For about $1 a day, you could get $250,000 in term life insurance without a medical exam. Just go online, answer a few health questions, and snap, family protected. You could get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and be covered in hours. No medical exams, no blood tests, no hassle. Right now, with your purchase of an eligible policy from Ethos, you'll get something else important to your family. Tools to create a legal will. A $449 value, yours free. Ethos, the 100% online, hassle-free way to get affordable life insurance. Get your free online quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.halfoffdeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business. This week's deal is from Papa John's in Stevens Point. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, 50 for just 25. From Papa John's in Stevens Point. What's better than pizza? Papa John's at half price. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeal.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The Vilas County Sheriff's Office released the name of a man who drowned Monday afternoon. Here's Civic Media's Brittany Merlot with more details.
Authorities said following a two-day search, the body of Michael Steiner from Colorado was recovered from Black Oak Lake. Just before 2 p.m. Monday, the dispatch center got a call reporting a boater witnessed a tipped-over canoe on the lake and a person sinking below the canoe. Emergency crews responded to the scene and a large search was conducted. The searchers worked until dusk but were unable to recover the person. The search resumed Tuesday. That's when the 62-year-old man's body was found, not wearing a life jacket.
You can skip the lines at state parks and forests this weekend by purchasing your Wisconsin State Park sticker online. The cost is $28 for residents. You can buy it online and use your email confirmation as proof of purchase until your sticker arrives in the mail. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies tonight with lows around 36. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, highs level off around 74. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 45. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, and Native news events all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Haley and Robert, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
I have the shirt on, and I've been really practicing, Robert.
Nice shirt, Robert.
Knack D.
Knack D. Good job.
Hey, you know what's really exciting, Robert? We're going to be on all hour, and we're going to really talk about a lot of things here. One of the things, exciting this month has been in many, many different ways because of Indian Month here in Minnesota, but also what's happened at the Capitol here. And it's great to be a Minnesotan, and just like today, I saw you today at this great Ho-Chunk event, and one thing I want to scoop everybody on, Robert, and I know we've talked about this in a good way, is starting in June, like the first week in June, Native Roots Radio is going to be on at 5 p.m., and we're going to catch the end of rush hour. But what's exciting, too, is that we can really do the live events that are happening all over Turtle Island. And I know your group specifically, Robert, has so many things going on at the same time as the 6 o'clock hour was. So it's first, it's going to be fun to be out there live and doing live events. And I know if you're doing NACD things, you'll be there with your headphones on and helping me out there, too. So I'm really excited to just bring that up. And Haley and I are excited. We'll probably be doing some shows from Target Field to prior to the Minnesota Twins games. So we got a lot of fun things happening, and it's great to have a partner like you and somebody that's been on, I would say 4 years at least, you've been on our show, right, Robert?
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Well, hey, it was great seeing you today. Let's start out a little bit today, recognizing Ho-Chunk, but also having a great little memorial for Marlene. And I know you were really, really close to her, and she's one of those Ho-Chunk warriors here in the Twin Cities and known all over Turtle Island. She passed away over a year ago and duly missed. And I'll tell you one thing, Robert, and I know you helped me with my campaign as legislator. So did Marlene. She was on the smoke signal phone all the time, promoting me in a good way.
She was whipping up those votes for you. And the event today, the Marlene we're talking about is Marlene White Rabbit Halgamo. She was a reverend at All Nations Church here in South Minneapolis, right off the American Indian Cultural Corridor. She was the first woman ever ordained in the Lutheran Church, or first Native woman ordained in the Lutheran Church. And she just was this amazing person. And, you know, she had this national network. She was very engaged locally. You heard from people today and since she's passed, just how much we valued her mentorship, her leadership. Today, Mike Gozzi of the American Indian Community Development Corporation made the point that that when Marlene asked you to do something, you just did it, and that she was able to amplify her impact that way. Gozzi, Mike Gozzi coined the phrase, Marlene's minion. And I'm very honored to consider myself amongst her minion. She understood how power worked. She understood that she could make things better for Native people by promoting other people into leadership. So I think, Robert, that I know she whipped up some votes for you in your election, your Ho-Chunk election. And that's just so Marlene, right? Making sure others were moving into leadership positions. And then she'll tell you exactly, she told you exactly what she wanted you to do. Mm-hmm. You get into those leadership positions. During my time on the Minneapolis City Council, we were incredibly strong allies.
Yeah.
I miss her.
Yeah, totally. And it was emotional at times today, too. Mm-hmm. She was one of the elders, and, you know, we're old people here. We're not the elder status that somebody like Mike Gozzi or Marlene was. We're old Indians, but when they tell you to do something, you do something. And that's why I ran and retired from teaching, was running for a legislator of Ho-Chunk Nation, which District 4, which is everywhere but Wisconsin.
Right. And so impressive. And in the church, it's a fairly small and modest church, just a few blocks off Franklin, the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And it's, Marlene made it such a community center. You know, it doesn't have pews, so it doesn't feel hugely like a church, but we've all spent hours and hours there, different critical community meetings, feasts, honorings, celebrations. And I remember during my time on the city council, Marlene was committed to reactivating their fire. They have that beautiful circular fire pit just off the church. And so she would do that, and she would have someone tend the fire, and she would hold councils there, right? We'd sit in a circle when maybe there was a bad negative incident in the community, or there was some thorny problem we needed to think through, or even meet in celebration. But she really activated that fire and sitting in that circle there at the church. And so it's beautiful to see the fire going today.
Wow, really good point and good call. Marlene's husband was there, Harvey, who's always been incredibly supportive of her, but really he has not disappeared from the communities. I had a long talk with him about Minnesota and Ho-Chunk and things that he knows through Marlene and their journeys together about, you know, how we're connected and how other people are connected in a good way.
Yeah, it was great to see him there. I haven't seen him for a while. I follow him on Facebook, so I know he's active, and I know he's out and about in the community. And it was nice to see some of the people who maybe didn't make it to some of the like the Marlene's funeral and things stand up and give their experiences as well. Sandy Whitehawk being one of those people, and who was very close to her, and she spoke so beautifully today. Today is all funny, you know, some funny stuff about Marlene too.
Yeah. Sandy, I met Sandy at Marlene's church because she has those great, especially pre-COVID, monthly adoption meetings. And as you know, Robin, right. I'm an adoptee, and just to get connected into the community, you know, and Marlene's part of it too for letting us use the church, you know, there you go, right?
It was so open. I'm wondering how many of us in the community actually has keys to that church. She would kind of distribute them so you could just go without bugging her. And Sandy Whitehawk is active and a board member in the National Boarding School Coalition, which is headquartered here, but of course works nationally. And so she is just dedicated to that cause and the work that she's doing. She was telling me today, it was interesting to hear, you know, she's an elder, a little older than us, and she was talking about how at this point in her life, she finally doesn't get triggered at these conferences and meetings about with boarding school survivors and about the trauma that our relatives faced in boarding schools. And she said that it's a more recent thing. It doesn't, she can enter into the conversation and help support others without getting triggered herself. And wow. And as Native folks know, those conversations are hard to have.
Right.
I was in a conversation today and all of a sudden I'm tearing up just talking right. about something from my own experience, you know, talking to non-Native people and having to explain to them. This stuff is painful. It's painful yeah. for us to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, we just went through a whole segment, Robert, talking about Marlene, and we got a lot more to talk about. Yeah, just a quick thing about Sandy. Sandy's husband's a stand-in on that great movie. Maybe we can talk a little bit about what we know about the Killers of the Flower Moon that's coming up here. Got a 9-minute standing ovation at Cannes Film Festival.
Right.
Sounds like it's going to be as good as we hoped.
Fingers crossed.
You're right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Robert Lilligren. Ho-wa.
Stay tuned.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, longtime sponsors of the show and what great work they do. I just have to give a quick shout out to anyone that's on Facebook or a Facebook friend of Robert Pilot. That's me. I have my birthday fundraiser for Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. So we're not matching what we did last year. We had about $3,000 last year, and I'm getting close to $1,000, but, you know, all anything you can give, $1, $5, would be just really great for this great organization here in the Twin Cities. That's known nationally. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, NACTI CEO, White Earth Ojibwe relative, and just all-around groovy dude. Thank you so much, Robert, for coming on. And I just wanted to finish up my thought about Killers of the Flower Moon. You know, that's that book that, or it's a movie based on the book from 2017 that a series of murders that happened to the Osage Nation in the 1920s after they struck oil. And it's a true story, and the movie is probably based on a true story kind of things. I thought it was really interesting, just off topic on that movie, and they got a 9-minute standing ovation in Cannes, and they'll be coming out, I believe, in October for a short run in the theaters. And Robbie Robinson's doing the music, which is awesome. He's Native American. And then I just want to say this real quick thing about Lily Gladstone, who is one of the stars. She played on Reservation Dogs the auntie that was in jail, and one of my favorite Reservation Dogs, where Willie Jackson came and talked to her aunt, and then all these relatives showed up. She showed her how to pray. And, you know, she was all kind of frumpy in her prison attire, and I didn't recognize her right away. That's how good of an actor she is.
Right. Yeah. Impressive. And it's been really satisfying to watch the media coverage from Cannes, where it was premiered, the 9-minute ovation, as you said, to see Native folks walking the red carpet. I'm kind of a red carpet fan. So, and Cannes is the best one going, and lots of days. Right. So it's just a different vibe. Right. And I can't wait to see the movie. I've read a little about it. I know that the storyline morphed from the novel, where it was sort of a mystery. Right.
And right.
It was the original intent of the filmmakers to make it a mystery, but it's really grew into something much more about relationship, you know, and much more human.
Right. Yeah. And we like that, you know. Rotten Tomatoes right now has given it a 96%, and that's good enough for me, because that's people that have seen it that aren't professional inventory takers, so to speak, or critics. And so we always kind of lean towards Rotten Tomatoes, and that's probably early because it hasn't gone out too nationally, but the people who have seen it have given it a really good grade. And how can you not, with to me, being a film buff and teaching film and video over the years, you know, Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, and then Martin's latest minion, so to speak, with Leonardo DiCaprio, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, and this Martin Scorsese, I mean, he's no kid, right? He's 80. This project took 6 or 7 years to put together. You know, he has to be very aware of what his, you know, outlooks, how many more films he's going to make in his life. And for him to dedicate that much time, that much attention, and be kind of that flexible around this story, I think is amazing. And then, of course, that they put Native people up playing Native roles, go figure. And, you know, that they're really career-making kinds of roles for these folks.
I really feel like Standing Rock really opened the door for a lot of authors, a lot of Native things. We had, you know, Rutherford Falls as a TV show, Res Dogs after that, Prey the movie, you know, the prequel to I Ain't Got Time to Bleed, what's the Predator. And all these things have been happening in a good way. And I feel like, and I could be mistaken, and I don't know how you feel about this, Robert, but a lot of it came from Standing Rock and being down in Standing Rock for that length of time and getting all the press, like you always talk about and we try to talk about here. We're still here.
Right. No, Standing Rock was pivotal. Right. It was kind of a new starting line of the contemporary or the modern movement. And it showed us a lot, you know, that we could sort of go backward to go forward. You know, did unprecedented things there. And I just, it will always be kind of a new high water mark for me. And being there was a profound experience. really changed the way that I approach my work and my perspective. And this is a generational thing, right? And I don't know if we talked about this, but we've had an international documentary film crew hanging around the last few days, and they're putting together this story, and they're not quite sure what to write about, but they're looking at the Twin Cities metropolitan area and the history of activism and advocacy and the progress that's been made. And that's what I push on. We're in this generational change here, where there's old farts like you and me, but then there are young people like Haley and others who were raised mm-hmm. with much more solid understandings of who they are as Native people, their languages, their cultures. They're on such firmer ground.
Right.
And so when you see things like the progress that's been made since Standing Rock, you know, there's the really deliberate efforts to reclaim the Native narrative through reclaiming Native truth, and locally that's branded as We Are Still Here, mm-hmm. and we're all kind of working from the same strategies. And then when it just shows the power, when we unite our voices and work together in an Indigenous and collaborative way, we can do anything.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
so many examples of that.
You know, I think we had kind of a renaissance, at least film-wise, in the 90s, you know, with Dancing with Kevin Costner and then Smoke Signals and, you know, those things. But it, other than Smoke Signals, I really feel like it was not led directly by Native people as it is now.
Right. It wasn't us telling our stories. And if you go back 20 years before that, and we're old enough to remember, you know, in the 70s, there was this little vogue more around performers like Cher, you know, really right. lifting up her negative. Wayne Newton, all of a sudden, he became very negative. And then you had legitimate performers like Buffy St. Marie and things that
right.
were there. But there was this little bit of vogue, and then it kind of went around. And then you're right. Then in the 90s, there were movies, but what's happening today, and like you said, since Standing Rock, is a whole different thing.
And that's a thing I'd like to talk about in the next segment when we get on there, is just how proud we are of our politicians. I mean, I talked about State Senator Mary Kunish came today and got a heck of an ovation, because I reminded the audience I was an MC of the great work the trifecta's done here in Minnesota.
Yeah, unprecedented. So the trifecta that Robert's talking about is our governor's office, our state senate, and our state house are all under one party control. It happens to be our party, the Democratic Party, or Democratic Farmer Labor, as it's known here. And those guys went in, they said it. Their intent was to legislate with efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this piece going around from the governor's social media, Governor Waltz, around his whiteboard, you know, with his legislative priorities. Listen, it's done, 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 mm-hmm. done. Every single one. And it just feels good to have a government that can get things done and mm-hmm. get things done in a good way.
Right. And it was hard for me to comprehend. And I know, Robert, you've been paying attention a lot more than I have to local politics. I did not ever see the stopgaps, or not the stopgaps, but how plugged up their government was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And one of the government, right? I'm a representative on our Metropolitan Council. First Native person to serve on the Metropolitan Council. And they, what came out of the legislative session to support the transit that we operate, housing, a new quarter cent sales tax for in the Metro for housing, the first sufficient dedicated transit funding ever. And this has been a battle. Every year we go in, every year we kind of have to fight with all the other legislative priorities to get transit. There are certain administrations that have been very anti-transit. And in this session, with the help of a few key legislators like Senator Dibble and Representative Hornstein, they passed a chunk of what will now.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Four on the Floor is playing tonight at Macmillan Library in the Fine Arts Center. This local favorite band, led by Pete Revel, will play classic jazz from 6:30 to 8:00. Enjoy this multi-generational jazz quartet playing standards from America's songbook. The 2025 NFL Draft, which was awarded to Green Bay earlier this week, comes with a price tag of $7.5 million. Now, Green Bay Republicans, Representative David Steffen and Senator Robert Cowles, are asking for $2 million in the next state budget to help cover a portion of that. The money would come in the form of a grant funded by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation as part of the budget. It's estimated the event will generate some $94 million statewide, $20 million of that in Green Bay, and attract nearly 250,000 visitors. Don't miss the Rafters' first game of the season on Monday at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight. Except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Last spring, you chose hardworking seed, but did it work as hard as you did? At NK Seeds, we know that all the time, all the effort, comes down to this. All that matters now is yield and how the seed performed on your acre. Because you can't fake performance, and bushels don't lie. Visit nkseeds.com/harvest.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg. Left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies tonight with lows around 36. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, highs level off around 74. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 45. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
For 30 years, Natural Lawn has taken an environmentally friendly approach to lawn care to feed your soil without unnecessary chemicals. Beat the summer rush and visit naturallawn.com.
this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Thank you, Haley. Yes, they do. And hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren. And wow, I just was listening to one of the ads, and Golden Valley Pride sounds like a big happenings that I did not know about.
Yeah, who knew? I didn't know they had the highest per capita households of LGBT people, or that they had the first suburban pride. So yeah, you learn something new every day listening to your show.
Well, I like to think of it as our show, because, you know, I was trying to spit out the words that you were a white earth citizen, and I couldn't come up with the word citizen, but we like to call ourselves citizens as opposed to members. Oh, yeah. Because we are the citizens of our tribes. Yeah, that was really interesting. Why don't we jump into the Clyde Belcourt Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative that has been one of the things that you've been working on, but other groups working in tandem and harmony together with the Capitol and the traction that that's gotten this past session.
Yeah, it's been really amazing. And just the evolution of how we got to where we are today is something that just delights me. And so we named it for Clyde Belcourt, our revered ancestor. Then it's the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative. And I haven't been in the leadership of this. I want to be really clear. I've been very supportive and involved. But it's young leaders like Marissa Cummings and Joe Hobart and Louise Matson who have been really moving it out. But it was a strategy to go to the legislature this year to get capital investment from the state into the urban Indian organizations facilities. And we have these aging facilities, many of us are barely safe maybe, and they need some definite capital infusion. And so there were, I think, 15 participating organizations. We put all of our needs in a document, and then working with lobbyists, we recruited elected senators and representatives to carry these bills. We had hearings that we appeared at and went through the process. It really elevated the profile of Native orgs and some of the needs in our communities. And it was fairly successful. I think maybe 5 of the projects that were on our list of the 15 were funded to some level. You know, that's not 100%, but it's something, right? And mm-hmm. We're already meeting in a couple of weeks under the leadership of Marissa Cummings of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center to start planning for the next session and how we'll go back and how we'll work together. And it's collaborative. It puts us in a posture where we're not competing with each other like the system wants us to do, you know, and to compete for resources and compete for service personnel. And instead, over the last maybe 7 years or so, the organizational leadership in the Twin Cities has been really deliberate about building ways to collaborate, to indigenize the way that we come together and throw off this colonized yoke that incentivizes us to view each other as enemies and competitors, that scarcity mentality, right? And embrace a mentality of plenty. And it's just a joy to see.
It is. And it's funny that you said 7 years ago, because we were talking earlier about Standing Rock and the 7 fires, the 8 fires that left Standing Rock. And the same time you're talking about this major collaboration, and we're talking about a paradigm shift in many ways of how people picture us, but how we picture ourselves.
Right. That's exactly right. And it's important for us to picture ourselves in a different way. Right. And it's amazing how often in myself, or I work with these incredibly talented young Native professionals. And every so often something will just kind of percolate up that really comes from a perspective of scarcity or something a little more colonized. And I think, wow, we should know better. We should know better than this. But man, that can run kind of deep and strong. And so it's a constant awareness that we need to be building. And then to not succumb, right? Not to fall into those old patterns, but to keep embracing each other as collaborators, as relatives, and it is, it's a paradigm shift.
And I think too that we can, and I don't mean this to be harsh, but we can call out or call on people when they aren't coming at us in a good way, I think better than we could prior to. And that's just like a feeling, again, with the paradigm shift. We started this show, Native Roots Radio, during Standing Rock, too. So that's something, you know, because of all the misinformation that was being sent out of there. And so it's kind of a starting point for me to see the whole community in a whole.
I think that's a beautiful perspective, Robert. And the idea of holding each other accountable, right? The, if you want to say call out or just identifying when things aren't being authentic and things aren't being indigenous. And you're right. I think we're stronger now where those kinds of statements of accountability aren't just going to blow everything up. Right. Like maybe a few years ago, if someone got called out, that might be the end of a conversation. You can go into the next conversation. Instead, now we're having serious conversations, deliberations about what kind of Native culture are we? And especially in a complicated urban environment where you have scores of tribes represented and not the formal sovereignty of living in a Native nation. And so we come together and, you know, we have these, are we a shunning culture here? You know, are we a reconciling and healing culture? Both are legitimate Native approaches. What do we want to be? How do we want to do it? And again, going to this generational thing, I see this in a lot of the younger people in the community, the younger emerging leadership, where they're more comfortable with this idea of lifting up issues that need to be addressed to hold ourselves accountable. And I like it.
I love it. And I think too, Robert, that, you know, we talk about these things that have happened to us in boarding school. I really feel like personally for me, my family has lost two generations. And part of the renaissance with our young ones and wanting to learn and feel strong about doing things in a good way has really, it hasn't affected this generation as much as possibly my parents and my grandparents.
I think that's right, right? So my dad was raised by someone who was a victim of the boarding school system and who was taught to despise our language and culture and ridicule it. And that's the environment my dad was raised in. And then as he aged, he became really an important part of the Ojibwe language reclamation here, movement here in the 70s and 80s, 90s. He would go to many language tables and just start to reclaim the language. But it's a journey. You have to bridge that, right? Bridge that deliberate disruption in culture that was very effective. You know, those boarding schools where they beat people's children's language and cultures out of them, they knew what they were doing.
Right.
And they made people fearful of re-embracing their culture. And so get through us, you know, and get to the next generations, and they have less of that fear. Mm-hmm. Their influences are some of our founders, as I call them, people like Clyde Belcour, Laura Waterman, all these folks who are walking on now. But so we're having generational strength that's being built. And I was just talking about this today with these documentary filmmakers, and you know, because it's current, you know, there's kind of a trend in circles conversations I'm in where people don't want to talk about historical trauma because it's not historical. It is current. It is in our lives every day. And so they feel like the term historical maybe gives us a little bit of buffering or comfort. And we shouldn't be comfortable with it. And just talking about how I can see from our place, we're about the same age, you know, in the generational trajectory, just how deep it feels, because that trauma is real and it's there every day. But if you look at it historically, it's not really that long. You know, and here in Minnesota, it's maybe 150, 200 years. In this country, it's maybe 500 years. Yeah, that's a long time, but it's not forever. right? Our people have been here for millennia, and we are still here. And so I'm starting to get to this place where I think that it might be possible to get beyond that trauma that we're feeling. It's not as deep as it feels.
Well, it's so funny. We always joked, and I don't mind repeating what we've talked about in the past because I think it's really poignant, and also we have new listeners all the time. But, you know, when in 1978 you talk about school and all these Indians came out of the woodwork in your school when they were recognizing Native Americans in your school. I grew up with Ho-Chunks. I always knew I was Winnebago. Being adopted, and I had no idea until, 10 years ago that they're Ho-Chunk, that these kids.
Interesting. that was my experience, right? I've shared that story before. I graduated from high school in 1978 from a large suburban school here in the Twin Cities, 720 people in my class. Just because it was 1978 and there was more awareness and important pieces of legislation were being passed in D.C. Around education, Native culture, Native religion, religious practices. So suddenly there was an awareness. And at my high school, they hosted a lunch for the Native graduates, and they must have got our names off of tribal enrollment, tribal roles. And so there was 12 of us that they could identify out of this class of 720 people. And these are people, many of them, that I had gone through school with from kindergarten to senior year and never knew they were Native. And some of you'd look at them and you go, oh, yeah, of course you're Indian. How did I not know that? But we had disincentive for self-identifying as Native, right? It was riskier to identify as Native. And so it wasn't until this event that we finally did that. And now it's hard to imagine that even happening in a public school here in Minnesota anyway.
Right.
Young students are proud. They're expressing their culture. And it's a very different thing in our lifetimes, right?
Yeah.
A fairly short amount of time.
And that's why I brought that up, because of what you were saying, that, how far we've come. And that the light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train. There are good things happening, and maybe 10, 15 years ago, we didn't feel that way. Hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren, and we're doing a whole show together, White Earth Citizen. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and Robert always cracks me up to hear every time I hear Dallas Goldtooth do that for us. He was a guest, and I asked him to do a radio tag, and I didn't expect him to do that, what he did. I just thought he'd say, hey, this is Dallas Goldtooth of Reservation Dogs, and but he did it in character. I still laugh when I hear it.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, and speaking of the Renaissance, there's those guys, you know, Bobby Wilson was on the show a couple times, and we always have to be careful with the dump button because Bobby likes to swear on live radio, but I've known Bobby as a kid at Harding, and, he wrote one of the shows. He's a writer on Reservation Dogs, and he was on, and he does some spot acting too for them. And he was on, he was a writer on Rutherford Falls too. But he did the whole piece, and I don't know if it was familiar to you. He wrote that whole piece when Cheese was put into a home because for years he worked. Well, first he was in Enda Young, and then he worked for Enda Young, sure. And that's how he met Dallas Goldtooth.
Ah, interesting. I did not know that. And so Enda Young is a place in St. Paul that provides housing for homeless Native youth, and which is, there's not a lot of that kind of housing going on. And so they're just incredibly important here. And so, no, I didn't know that. I did know because he used to hang around here more, you know, along the cultural corridor and things. And he's just a fascinating person and, you know, very respectful to me anyway, as an elder and stuff. And I learned that he was actually born in a house in the Phillips area, not far from Franklin Avenue.
Are you speaking of Bobby or Dallas?
Bobby.
Oh, okay, cool.
Bobby Wilson. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have been clear. But I thought he's a young man, you know. And I thought not that many people his age were probably born at home in the middle of the Phillips neighborhood, you know. So
I hadn't. You know, what was that show on Comedy Central? It's still on. What's the new show I'm thinking of on Comedy Central?
The Daily Show.
So they did this this piece, and I hadn't seen Bobby in years since he was a student, and I knew he was in the comedy troupe, and he'd come back and MC for things, and I mean, I'd talked to him for just a short time, but this was like, I want to say 2015, 16, okay. 14, somewhere around there, and he was on the Daily Show was interviewing these people about the Washington football name at the time.
Right.
And they were going, oh, you know, it's honoring them and it's all this, and then all of a sudden what, you know, the Daily Show does, a wall opened up and all these natives came out and Bobby was one of them.
I remember that episode. I was watching it.
I go, that's Bobby Wilson.
Right. And Bobby Wilson and them, they were all kind of, you know, stone faced, and it really changed the discussion. You know, yeah.
That was
group, right? The 1491s, is that the it was something.
Yeah, and that's got them going on Reservation Dogs. That's the same four people. And if people don't know out there, Google it or go to YouTube and watch the 1491ers, and they're hilarious, and there's a lot of inside jokes and some parodies, and that really brought them to this place where they're at now nationally, and speaking our truth and making fun of ourselves, I always say, Robert, it was like it's kind of watching the Flintstones. You know, the adults would get one version of the Flintstones, and the kids would get the other, you know, with the inside jokes. Right, and that's Reservation Dogs for us too. It's like, oh, this is funny. This is for everybody. I mean, there's some inside jokes.
Non-native folks are getting the joke, right?
Well, most people I talk to really love that show that are non-natives, so that's really, really good to hear. And they're, you know, going to be coming in August, I think. The first week of August is that their season three is coming up for Reservation Dogs.
Exciting.
Can you believe it's 3 years, though? I mean...
No, I can't. That's amazing. And it's just, you know, it shows that sustainability, right? People are interested in these stories mm-hmm. now in a way they weren't before. Native and non-Native people. And it makes Native people contemporary, right? And
right.
Up until a few years, I remember this research that went into creating Reclaiming Native Truth Strategies, you know, the narrative change strategies. And it was almost, the research showed that almost half the people in the United States did not know that Native people still existed today.
Whoa.
The Native people were relegated to history, right?
So dinosaurs.
That's interesting. But really the kind of asset there was that like 80% of American people wanted to know more mm-hmm. about Native people. And so that's where, you know, Reservation Dogs and all this media, the, you know, the movies coming out, the red carpets and things, people are really interested.
Right. Tommy Orange was on our show when his book first came out there. And he had said it taken him quite a few years to write that book. And that because of Standing Rock, he had a voice and people were really paying attention. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting. Go ahead.
I agree. And that's a book I recommend. You know, I get to address a lot of non-Native groups, you know, speak to them and things. And that's a book that I recommend as a resource. And for me, you know, he's a different generation than mm-hmm. But he talks about the urban Indian experience in a way that really resonated with me. It felt like, yeah, this is like my experience.
Wow.
And I like that he uses the term urban Indian mm-hmm. and helps move that into common vocabulary. It's an identity that many of us are kind of working to define, and mm-hmm. is that Decolonizing Wealth by Will and Wave. He is another one. He uses the term urban Indian.
Wow.
I like that. And so when I'm talking to non-Native groups, I'll describe myself as a third generation Minneapolis urban Indian.
Yeah.
And then give them permission to use that term, wow. urban Indian. You know, people are never quite sure what they can and can't say.
Right, exactly. Hey, I was, 2 days ago, I was on Franklin Avenue. I didn't make your, I was at a big meeting downtown St. Paul, so I feel bad I didn't make your open house. But what I was able to do 2 days ago is to go in and see that great show you have at All My Relations Gallery, the beautiful beadwork, and I could have just stayed there in hours and looking at this stuff, and it was regalia, you know, just male regalia, and
Creatable words. I mean, it has kind of a contemporary angle. So the show is called Pitwewetam, Making is Medicine. And it's a traveling exhibit. It came down from Thunder Bay, and it is the story of a family that suffered a great loss, a tragic, traumatizing loss. And to deal with that loss, they started to create.
Wow. You know?
And so the show is an outcome of the work that they did. And I will tell you, Robert, we get a lot of positive feedbacks about all of the shows we do in our All My Relations Arts Gallery. That we've never had any response like this. This is by far the most positive response that we've gotten from any show. So if you're in the cities, I urge you to come down to All My Relations Arts Gallery on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Pitwewetam is up till June 10th, and it is awe-inspiring.
Wow, great plug, and it really is. Robert, thank you so much for hanging in there with the whole show together. I had a great time.
Peeny Me too. I'm losing my voice a little.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent
and Trademark Office. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.